Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, this is our Culture of the Kingdom series, and today's session is entitled Dealing with Confusion, Doubt, and Unbelief. I have been so thankful for this series and the way that it's caused me to look at the Sermon on the Mount from so many different angles that I have not naturally thought to look at it. Just by studying the, you know, these three chapters, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and seeing the lessons that are woven into these three glorious chapters. And so today, I want to talk about another way that the enemy wants to get us off track, that Jesus spoke to from a number of different angles in the Sermon on the Mount, and that's really primarily related to the issue of confusion, and then how confusion can be fueled by doubt and unbelief as well. So I want to kind of get into this a little bit, but I feel like today, this is one of those lessons that might not have much been on your radar before, that can be very powerful as a point of equipping for you for the rest of your life. This is a good one. This one matters. This message is helpful. And so a couple of weeks ago, we did a message on distractions, and originally I had this content in that message, and I just thought, no, this is too rich to kind of throw in there as a last bit idea. And so I want us to look today at what Jesus said and really what the counsel of the Word has to say about the subject of confusion, because it's something that all of us are hit with at various points in our life. It's something that all of us have to confront, and we either give in knowingly or unknowingly, or we combat it, and we combat it for a while and then give in, or we combat it for a while until we finally overcome. And so I want us to, as a common thread, this is one of those that affects all of us at various points in our lives. And confusion, we want to look at this from a little bit different perspective. I want to identify confusion as the language of Satan. Instead of confusion as, I'm just a little confused today. Or you know, these circumstances, they just don't make any sense, I'm confused. Instead of us looking at the subject of confusion as just kind of a natural part of life, I want us to address it the way that the Word actually tells us that we can, because it's a demonic deterrent from God's purpose for your life. Think about it. Confusion doesn't come from the Lord. It comes from the enemy. But why does it come from the enemy? It comes from the enemy to get you off course. It comes from the enemy in order to get you to stop doing the thing you were doing, in order to get you confused about the thing that you were doing and misinterpret it and make it something that it's not. It's like, man, this thing, it doesn't make any sense anymore. It made sense before, but it doesn't make sense today. It doesn't make sense today, not because it doesn't make sense, but because the enemy has sown in confusion and trying to get you off course. So the issue of confusion is always something we want to stand against instead of just sink into the midst of the sinking sand of confusion. The Lord wants us to believe and to press in for his purposes. And this is the way that we're to walk. We're always to be moving forward in faith, taking the steps that the Lord has made clear to us, and resetting ourselves and resolving ourselves again and again to his plan, trying to figure out what his plan is, and then again committing to it. Now, I just want to give you the language of the enemy. It's John 8:44. You guys know this verse. It says, you belong to your father, the devil. He's talking to the Pharisees at this point. So nobody freak out. You do not belong to the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. There is no truth in him. So now this whole subject is the way that the enemy talks. He doesn't hold to the truth. There's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he's a liar and the father of lies. I mean, Jesus is really going after this. I mean, you just imagine Satan wincing like six times in this little statement, because Jesus says there's no truth in him. He doesn't have any truth. He's not about truth. He's a liar. When he speaks lies, he's talking his native language. He's the father of lies. He's a liar. And so we want to understand that the enemy talks, and every time he talks, he lies. And his lies are not because he's just uncontrollably lying. He's lying in order to be able to persuade us away from truth. And the enemy sows in lies all the time. But I think that many times that the lies that the enemy sows into our lives are not, you know, I'm thinking it this way. There's, in the course of a year, he might sell you 3 or 4 really big lies. I mean, some big ones to try to get you to do something really foolish. But every day he's a liar. Every day he's lying. Every day he's trying to sow in lies to get you off course a little bit. So yeah, there's those moments in your year where there was a big lie that he was trying to sell you, but every day he's lying to you. Every day he's sowing it into our culture, into, you know, things that we see and hear, even our own thoughts, you know, the way that he accuses. He lies, and that's that language is always in order to get us off course. And what he really does is he's confusing truth. We want the truth. We want the language of the truth. We want the word of truth. We want to walk according to the truth. But in him, there is no truth. He's going to sow in the opposite. He's going to try to confuse what is real. He's going to try to confuse what is true. And so when he speaks, it's actually unto confusing you, unto confusing me, okay? Well, confusion never comes from the Lord. This is 1 Corinthians 14:33. God is not the author of confusion, but he's the author of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. God is not the author of confusion. He does not author confusion. But there is one who does author confusion. He's the same one who's lying in order to distort the truth, to confuse the truth. There is one. And so all of us have, like, we can point back to probably times in the last year or, you know, even week where we were feeling confused, where we were under kind of a cloud of confusion. That confusion does not come from the Lord. It comes from the enemy. But we do not have to accept confusion as our lot. This is the really good news. This is the kind of the main point that I really want us to make, and then we'll talk about some practical details about how we do not have to accept confusion as our lot. This is a primary tool that the enemy uses to get us off course. The Lord speaks truth. The enemy sows in confusion to get us to doubt the truth, to get us to change the truth, to get us just unimpressed with the truth. He's confusing the truth in order to be able to get us off course, but we do not have to accept that confusion as our lot. We'll get into some practicals here in just a minute, but I just wanted to point out some of the verses, some of the things that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew 5, in the course of about 5 verses, maybe 6, he gives us 5 really clear times that he's addressing things that we have heard said that are inaccurate. It's actually some of the ways that the enemy was able to sow in confusion in the common teachings of the day, in the common culture of the day, in the common sayings of the day. And 5 times, and again, about 5 verses, I haven't counted it, maybe a little bit more, but 5 times in a handful of verses, he says again and again, you have heard it said this, but I say to you, and then he corrects it and gives them a different direction. I don't actually want to look at each one of the different points. That's not my objective today. What I want to say to you is that there's over and over in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord is trying to address this issue of confusion in one of the ways that it shows up so commonly, and that is what we've heard said in our culture, what we've heard taught, maybe even from a pulpit, what we've believed in our own heart, what is common in the day. And so again and again, he says, you have heard it said to the people long ago, do not murder. Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, and then he says, more or less, don't do that. He goes on, he says, you have heard it said, you have heard it said, again, you've heard it said. He's hitting this point home because he's recognizing, or he's rather wanting us to recognize, that the father of lies is working overtime in our culture, in our own thoughts accusing, in everything that we see and hear. You have heard it said inaccurately. Frequently, we have heard it said inaccurately. And if we're not careful, we can wind up giving in to those points of confusion. So we got to figure out, how do we navigate the false from the true? How do we navigate what is real and what is a confused truth? What is the reality of what God wants for us and what is inaccurate? How do we figure that out? We've got to navigate these false versions of truth because they're all around us. That's part of the reason that Jesus was giving these example after example in his Sermon on the Mount teaching, was he was trying to get people to stop leaning on what everybody else is saying, what everybody else is doing, whatever other perspectives there are, and begin to start plumb lining us to a different plumb line, to the Word of God. We need to know what Jesus says. This is the trick for you today. This is your lesson. You've got to know what the Word of God says, because it's not enough that somebody else does. It's not enough that you hear me say it on a Sunday morning. You need to know the Word of God, because that's the way that you answer the error. Because what you do is, it's actually very simple. You have heard it said something. Pick anything that you can think of. Whether it's something that you've believed in your own heart, whether it's something that you heard on television, you heard a pastor say, you've heard it said. You need to know where in the Bible it says that. And you might find that the Bible actually teaches the exact opposite, which was Jesus' point in all of these. You heard it said, but he's like, that's not accurate. That's not what the Word of God says. So you've been believing these confusing truths. You've been calling them truths. You've been living like they're truth, but they're not, and they're going to wind up getting you off course. You need to know the Word of God for yourself. So the lesson here, you got to read your Bible. I mean, plain and simple, you have to know the Word of God. It is not enough that you come to church. It's not enough that you've got people around you that know the Word. You need to know the Word so that you can answer, you have heard it said. You can answer points of confusion in your own life. Sometimes our teachers can even be our problem. Jesus was pointing out what the teachers had said, what the teachers had taught. I can think of a lot of teaching I have heard that is not in alignment with the Word of God. But the only way I know that is because I know the Word. I wouldn't know that by just hearing the popular teacher speak or the unpopular teacher speak. You wouldn't know it just by their presentation. You would know it according to the Word, but we've got to be people who know the Word. Here's the bottom line. You are going to run into 10,000 ways to get off course. The Bible addresses all 10,000 ways. You have to know where they are in the Bible so that you can plumb line it back to the Word of truth and go, that's not true. How do you know whether it's true or not? Because the Bible says. Where does the Bible say? Well, I heard that pastor say this verse one time. Maybe he was making it up. Where does it say that? We've got to be a people that know the Word, because this answers the questions. This fixes the confusion. This is the North Star. This gets us back on course and helps us to realign our course. We've got to know what the Word says. More than know what it says, believe it. And this is a whole separate problem. This is a whole separate problem. Because we come into moments where things around us really look like this is truth. But the Bible says that's a lie. This is truth. We have to be blind faith dummies and believe what the Bible says over what our circumstances look like. We have got to apply the Word. It's not enough that we would know what it says. We've got to look at it and go, that is how I get out of confusion. That is how I realign. The Word of God says, it's the Word of God. It's not a mystical book. It's not a weird religious thing that's existed for thousands of years. It's God talk. The enemy, when he speaks, his native language is lie talk. When God talks, and he gave us a whole book of things he said, his native language is truth, and it will help plumb line you back to how to deal with confusion and how to stay true to the course that the Lord wants you on. But we've got to know the Word and apply it. And so all of us in our lives, we need to be on this perpetual journey until we die. I want to know the Word, and then when I see the Word and it disagrees with life, I call life a liar, and I call the Bible truth. And as we walk that out again and again, here's what happens. Every time it's proved true. Every time. You give it just a minute. You give it just a minute every time it's proved true. And as you've done that now a few different times, and then 20 times, and then 100 times, it becomes so much easier to believe the most cockamamie things that the Bible says. It becomes so much easier because you're like, well, I believe these other 10 things. It was totally impossible. It looked like that was totally ridiculous. And it happened exactly like the Bible said that it would. Oh, my goodness. I then can believe for this next thing. The way that we get out of confusion is we know the truth and we believe the truth. So Jesus was like addressing the many things that we've heard said. And he said, but I want to tell you what the Word of God says. I want to tell you Jesus as the Word of God. The Word became flesh. The Word was among us. He's speaking the truth in order to bring us back to the plumb line, the reality. Well, how do we navigate confusion? I want to give us some real simple practical points here. I mean, again, point one, read your Bible and then believe it. I mean, why would you believe a false book? Or why would you even read a false book? Why would you even go to a church that preaches a false book? So I'm assuming you don't think that. I'm assuming that you think it's a true book. But if it's a true book and it's got the words of God in it, then we've got to know it and we got to do it. We got to believe it. Navigating confusion, taking a sidestep here for some practical points to help you confidently navigate it. Navigating confusion. We do not ever, I just want to give you some encouragement. First part won't seem so encouraging. You are going to face confusing situations. You are going to face confusion. I'm sorry, you're not going to get away from that. You will face it. You don't ever, not one time do you ever have to be derailed by it. Never. That's a choice. And I'm going to give you the tools. It's real simple tools. You don't ever, not one time in your life, you can go your whole life and never have gotten off course by confusing situations and confusion. You don't ever have to get off by it. You're going to have to face it. You will encounter it. There will be times where you're like, this is confusing. I do not like this. I am struggling with all these confusing signals, signs, things. I don't understand. The Bible says this, but life seems to say this. There will be times you will absolutely be confronted with confusion, but you don't ever one time have to get off course. Here's the simple answer. Keep marching up the hill that the Lord last showed you. Whatever it is that you were doing before, just keep doing it. Don't stop until the Lord gives clear instruction again. It's really simple. Yeah, but it's been a week. Oh, please. It's been a month. Oh, that's pathetic. Quit it. It's been a year. Still, 10 years. Talk to me in 10 years. And even then, I'm probably going to go, I've been waiting on stuff longer than that. Just keep marching. The last instructions that the general gave you, just keep going that direction. Yeah, but it's weird now, and there's like a swamp, and things are crazy, and I don't like it, and it smells, and things aren't working the way that I thought and I hope. That doesn't matter. The smart guy said, go that way. And until the smart guy gives you new instruction and says, go that way, just keep going the last that way. That's so simple. I'm telling you, this will save you 1,000 troubles. This will save you so many trials in life if you will just do this. And I'm not asking you to do things my way. I'm asking you to just keep obeying the last thing God told you to do. And just obey. God said go left. Don't ever stop going left until God says go right. Or God says go up or down or whatever. Just follow the last marching orders. They haven't changed. There's so many parables in the New Testament where Jesus talks about being a leader of some capacity and giving instructions to his servants and then going away on a long journey. You know what a long journey means? Zero additional communication for a long time. That's the worst. It's actually not. It's really simple. What it means is you are responsible very deep for very few things. Because he couldn't have given you 10,000 instructions and then left. You wouldn't have remembered them all. So he gave you like two pieces of instruction. He just said, just keep doing the thing I told you to do until I come back. Well, what if you don't come back for years? Just keep doing the thing I told you to do until I come back. It's really actually simple. The problem is we get confused. But where does that confusion come from? Not from me, from the Lord. The confusion comes from the enemy who all he wants is to get you to disobey. He wants to get you off course for your life. Off course for the kingdom purposes, off course for maturity in the Lord, off course for all the impact that following through with that thing of obedience was going to yield you. He wants to get you off course. And so his greatest desire is to sow in confusion. Quite simply, the way to a straight path, Proverbs 3:3-6. You guys know the passage. You guys know the passage, but I'm going to throw in verse 3 because normally we start in verse 4. Proverbs 3, 3 through 6. I think this is all related. I think this is all part of the same instruction. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Think of a crooked path as opposed to a straight path. Crooked path, confusion. Straight path. It's straight. Let me just break this down. Part of what you do is you love people always. You can always trust this is the right thing. Let love never leave you. Let love never leave you. So you're in this season of life, you're in this season of life. Are you loving people well? Because that is part of what you must do. Love people. Love people means a thousand things. But you must love well. Second, faithfulness. Faithfulness always means doing the hard thing that you don't want to do anymore. That's what faithfulness means. Because it's not faithfulness if it's like so easy and fun. I am going to faithfully eat donuts every Sunday. I wish I could get by with that. And like that the Lord would see that as faithfulness. It's not. I'm going to not eat donuts every Sunday. That's faithfulness right there. Please continue to eat the donuts, by the way, that we buy every Sunday. The subject of faithfulness requires tested issues over time. It requires it. And this is the exhortation of Solomon here in Proverbs, saying, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Here's what writing it on the tablet of your heart means. Your heart isn't so big. You don't have so much write space on there. You can't get a lot written on there, okay? In this like kind of a picture. You want to write on your heart, I will always love people. I will always be faithful to the last thing God said to me to do. I will always stay faithful to the purposes of the Lord. I will always continue to love and pour out. I will always do this. Every season, I feel broken, I feel angry, I feel rich, I feel poor. I will always continue to love because it's right and to be faithful because it's right. I'm going to do that in every season. And then I'm going to trust that by doing that, by making that what my life is about, your life actually isn't even about your assignment. Your life is going to be tested by, did you learn to love and were you faithful to the Lord your God? You're going to have to stand before the Lord and give an account on those two things. And your assignment is secondary. Your assignment is a way to walk out love and faithfulness. So your assignment in this season or this season or this season is so secondary to love and faithfulness. That's the big stuff right there. But the Lord, while that's his purpose, the enemy wants to sow in confusion and get you off course to get you, I've got too much going on right now. I don't need to love. I'm going to be doing this, so I don't need to love anymore. I've got all this junk in my heart and these problems, therefore I'm exempt from loving. False. Bind it on your heart every season of your life. Faithfulness. Man, this is going to be happening and I'm busy with this. I don't need to stay faithful to the last thing anymore because I've got all these new opportunities, got all this new stuff. Faithfulness. You are going to be assessed according to your faithfulness. Bind it on your heart. Let it be the plumb line of your life in every season. Stay faithful. And the Lord will honor this. And he says, oh yeah, and by the way, if you do that, you're going to win favor with God and man. If you love well and if you're faithful in every season, you're going to get goodies from heaven and from people, which is a great added benefit. But look at this. Here's the opposite would be to not trust the Lord, but to trust our own ways. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and for the love of all good things, don't lean on your own understanding. You're not that smart. Don't lean on your interpretation. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on, well, the situation looks like this, so I probably ought to do this. Stay faithful to the ways that the Lord has led. Stay faithful to what the Word of God says. The Word of God says left, don't you go right because you think you understand better. You're wrong. You are not that smart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Trust the Lord. Yeah, but trusting the Lord looks messy. Trust the Lord. But trusting the Lord is like super hard. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord means trust his plan. It also means trust that he has one while you're waiting for him to speak. So many times we're just waiting for God to speak and he's gonna when he's good and ready. And it ain't today. Stay faithful. Trust that he has a plan. Trust the last plan that he revealed to you. Stay the course. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your understanding and submit to him. There's so many times the Bible stares at me and says, Bradstreet, you're supposed to do this. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. And this, the wisdom of God is submit. Submit to him. The word says left, left it is. The word says right, right it is. The Holy Spirit leads and makes it clear. You're supposed to do this. Trust the Lord and submit to him. You're just not that smart. I know, because you're like me. We just are not that smart. Our perspective is so narrow. We are so fickle. We are so bent on our current emotional state. Like, that's how to interpret truth and falsehood. How I currently feel. I mean, it's like, that is totally inaccurate. That is not correct. That is not the lens of how to perceive right and wrong. We cannot act out of that. We have got to act according to the plumb line of truth. We got to know the truth. We got to know the Bible. What does the word say about this situation, this thing, the way that we do this? How do we handle that? What does the word say? That's it. Submit to it. And if we do, he'll make our paths straight. This is the greatest thing ever. He'll make our paths straight. I want straight paths. I don't want to walk in confusion. I don't like confusion at all. Let me give you the difference between confusion and confusing circumstances. Okay? Confusing circumstances are inevitable. You're going to run into times where you're looking at a situation and it really doesn't make any sense. That's going to happen. That's happened to all of you, and it will happen to all of us again. That is part of life. It's part of even what the Lord permits to happen in life. He permits it. But there's a difference between a confusing circumstance and giving into confusion. Let me give you the best analogy I can think of, okay? Imagine a ship that's going through a really, you know, foggy or a really intense storm, all right? And they had a course, and they set a course because fastest route between two points, straight line. It's hard for me. Don't you stare at me. The fastest whatever between two points is a straight line. Okay, so they've charted a course. I'm starting here. I'm going there. Let me tell you what the dumbest thing you can possibly do when you hit the storm is. Start going, you know what? I think if we go right, maybe we can get out of this thing faster. You know, maybe if we double back, you don't know which way the storm's going. You could perpetually wind up in that storm forever. The fastest way to get out of that storm is just keep going the direction you were going. Just keep going. And you will chart yourself right out of that storm by staying true to the course that was already set. You don't know what storms are coming. Don't get off course. That's giving into confusion. Just stay straight. Just stay straight. It's really simple. Trust that the path that the Lord set you on was the right one. Ask him every day, God, speak, help, help, help. But if he doesn't speak or help in the way that you're asking, don't change course. Don't change course. You'll wind up in that storm forever. The storm of confusion. Here's what happens so often. Remember, the enemy is the author of confusion. So you're on a course. You've charted it from here to here. This is what the plan is. And when you started it, you believed it was the Lord. And you're going down that course. The enemy sows in a storm of confusion right there in the middle. And your tendency is to now go, well, did I really make the right decision? Am I supposed to go right now or left? Maybe I should just stop and wait this thing out. Keep going forward. And let the Lord be the one that gives you new instruction. We're supposed to trust him. We're supposed to stay the course. The enemy's plan, always, is to attempt to get you stuck out at sea. He wants to get you stuck in that thing. But here's the truth. You can't help the fact that a storm came. But you can help how fast you get through it by just continuing the course. Just stay the course. It's going to be okay. You're going to get through this. Whatever it is. Think about the last really terrible thing 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Think it was so confusing. You didn't know what to do. What am I going to do with my life? Where am I going to go to school? Where am I going to do this? You got through it. You're still here. You ain't dead. This will be like that. You will get through this. Even if it takes you a minute. Storms aren't fun. Confusion isn't fun. I don't envy anybody who's in a situation that's super confusing. I don't like those myself. But the best way to get through it is just keep going on the charted course. Stay the course. And the Lord will give you all that you need in order to be able to overcome it. Now, the way that the enemy gets us is he sows in doubt. Doubt that God is listening. Doubt that God really spoke before. Doubt that what you're doing makes a difference. Doubt, doubt, doubt. So I just want to give you some of the ways that Jesus identified doubts in the Sermon on the Mount, because as we see these and we stare at them one at a time, if we'll heed the instruction, we'll gain what we need so that when the enemy sows in the doubt, we don't give in to confusion. Doubt opens the door to confusion. I just want to unpack that for a second. When the Lord sets you on a course and you're moving down that direction, maybe the course is the Lord says, stay married. I mean, it's the Bible, like, I don't like divorce, so don't get a divorce. So the Bible's, the course set on is stay married. What happens is the enemy wants to bring stay married into doubt. And he wants to sow in, you know, I don't know if God really said that. Isn't that what he said to, you know, Eve at the tree? Did God really say? He's sowing in doubt. And now Eve becomes confused. Well, maybe God didn't really say that. Maybe I really can change course. Maybe I really can do it my way. The enemy sows in doubt. We have to stand against doubt like it's a devil. We can't entertain doubt. I want to encourage you, those of you who are like, well, I'm doubting this, stop it. Stop doubting that. Rebuke doubt. Instead, say, God, bring me more clarity tomorrow, but I'm not going to doubt. I'm going to walk the way that you told us to walk. I'm going to do the thing you told us to do. I'm not going to doubt, because doubt opens the door for confusion. And once you give in to confusion, you can wind up so off course. I've seen people before, people that I love, they knew the plan of God for their life, and they were doing it. And then the enemy wisely wanted to take them out. Of course he wanted to take them out. Why? Because they're doing something for Jesus. Because they've got a plan. They're walking out the plan of God. Of course the enemy wants to take them out. Of course. That's not revelatory. That's normal. That's just tactical warfare. So the enemy begins to sow in doubt and confusion. And then people who were on course, and I can think of a number of people, families, individuals over the years, they were on course, and the enemy, not the Lord, not even their natural life, the enemy sowed in doubt. Is this really what you want to do with your life? Is this really what God said? Is this really? And they started to entertain the doubt and wound up confused and completely derailed for years or for forever. Completely derailed. Because they gave in to doubt and confusion. I mean, I wish the worst stuff that we had to fear of as far as like things that would get us off track were like, you know, the five big sins, whatever those are. Like, I wish that was the biggest deal. I see more people getting off course because of doubt and confusion. Because they just didn't know how to navigate the storm. It's really simple. Nothing changes your course. Stay the course. The Bible is not going to change, so whatever it says is not going to shift. Your directional words for your life, where you're supposed to go to school, or what are you supposed to do about this, what is the Lord will speak clearly enough when it's time for you to change directions. If you're not sure if he's giving you those words, don't change directions. Just keep going the way he was speaking. I've seen so many people get off course, and when you wind up confused, have you ever met somebody that's like just a very confused individual? You just feel like so sorry for them. They're like, they're like a shell of a person. They're like, I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't know. So, hey, you want to come? I don't know. They're just like indecisive, and they just kind of like, you can tell there's like just this spinning in their head and in their life. They're not going anywhere. That is a miserable way to live, and it's totally unnecessary. Here's how you live. Know the word. Do what it says. Hear the Lord lead you. When he leads you, march that way until you die or until he gives you new instructions. If you're not sure if he's giving you new instructions, he's not. It's really simple. Well, it might be. No, it's not. Because you'll know. Because he likes you doing his plan more than you like you doing his plan. He wants you to know. Just keep going the way he's got you going. And don't even think about it. Don't entertain the doubt or the confusion. When the Lord wants you to start going left, you've been going straight, and now he wants you to go left, he'll make that really clear. He's really great at that. I'll give you a few verses. The doubt that God sees us. Matthew 6:4, 6:6, 6:18. We've looked at this from different angles, but just think about this. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Your Father who sees, he sees you. I doubt that you see me right now. I doubt that you have a plan for my life. I doubt, don't doubt. He sees you. He sees you. That is an incredible plumb line because the enemy wants to tell you a false truth. God doesn't see you right now. God's not, you know, he doesn't care. God doesn't see what you're doing. That's false. The Bible says God does see me. God does see me. I am seen by God right now. You are as well. Tomorrow, a year from now, you are seen by God. That is an important detail because I don't think there's anything that can get us off course more than, does God even care about my life and what I'm doing? Does he even see? Is he even involved? You need to know that one deep. Next, Matthew 7, 9 through 11, doubt that God responds to prayer. God does respond to prayer. Matthew 7, 9 through 11, which of you, this is Jesus going, which of you, like all of humanity, name a human that this isn't true for. That's kind of what he's saying. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then are evil, you're evil people, y'all are evil. If you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? God is listening to your prayers. He is listening. God, are you even listening? The enemy's sowing in the doubt. He's not even listening. It's over. It doesn't matter if you pray. It does matter if you pray. Your Father in heaven is listening, and he will respond to your prayers. It does matter. Don't let the doubt and the confusion come in and have any place in your heart. Rebuke it like it's a demon. No, I'm not going to believe that because the Bible says God is a Father in heaven, and he responds when I pray. He is listening. He sees me. He hears me. He is real. Doubt that our little efforts amount to anything. Matthew 5:19. Look at this. Jesus says, anyone who breaks the least of the commandments, just the least of them, like the smallest thing, and then teaches others to do the same, will be going to be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is making a point to say even the least of things God sees and responds to. Even the smallest ones. This little act of obedience. Do you even see this? Do you even care? Does this even matter? That's the question. Is what I'm doing, is me staying the course? Because it just seems like it'd be so much easier to just go right. Does me staying the course even matter? The least of the commandments. The least of the directions of the Lord. The least, the littlest, the smallest areas of life. Stay the course. It matters. He'll call you great by your obedience to those things. Furthermore, by you being obedient in those small areas of life, you are being a witness to everyone around you to be obedient to small areas of life. Your life is a witness to somebody to either obey the least of God's commandments or to not obey the least of God's commandments. To walk in the way that the Lord gives you. He cares and he's paying attention. Even the littlest thing that you're doing, it matters to God. He sees you. Are you doing it because God said so? Are you doing it because the Bible said so? Are you doing it because that's the direction that the Lord led you? Even if it's costly, are you doing it? The Lord says, I see it and I honor it and I will value it forever. What you are doing matters to the Lord. Last one I'll point out and we'll close out. Doubt that God will provide for us. This is like such a massive one for so many of us. This is a really big thing. But we've got to look at what the Word says and not what our circumstances say. We cannot look at our circumstances. We've got to look at what the Word says. Matthew 6:26 and 6:30. Jesus says, look at the birds. They don't sow or reap or store in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than a bird? Matthew 6:30. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? The needs that we have in life, the enemy wants to confuse you and say, God will not provide for your needs. If you continue to follow the Lord's plan for your life, you will not be provided for. If you continue the course, you're going to wind up dying in the storm you will not have provision. This is a massive lie, and it's one we all believe at least a little bit. It's one we got to get out of. We have got to get out of this lie. It is confusion that will get us off course. Because here's what the lie will wind up getting you to do. Going and taking the better job that totally isn't God's plan for your life. The Lord has a purpose for your life. He's got plans to prosper you. We can't just derail every time our circumstances get confusing, but that's what our tendency is. We tend to be more led by our circumstances and less by the Holy Spirit. We tend to be led more by what is happening, what is confusing, what doesn't align with what we think is right and good, than we are by the Word of God. The Word of God says, don't worry about our finances, but all of us worry about our finances. The Lord is trying to train us and teach us. Lord, I want your will. I'll do whatever you want. I'll go up, down. I'll work six jobs. I'll work no job. Lead me. Lead me. And then he leads you. Follow his leadership. Follow his leadership and trust his provision. Trust that he will provide for you. He'll take care of your issues. He'll take care of your needs. This issue of finances is a really big one in the area of doubt, especially for a predominantly young adult church. We got a lot of people who are trying to figure this part out. Let me tell you what you do. You work your butt off at whatever your job is. Whatever your job is, you work your butt off. You be the hardest worker there. You work your tail off at your job, whatever your job is, because that's just character. You work your tail off, and you wait for the leadership of the Lord of where you're supposed to work, what you're supposed to do. And then you just work your tail off there. And then you just stay there until you die. Or the Lord gives you direction to do something different. It's really simple. What if the Lord wanted you to become the CEO of that business and you bailed out because it was hard or it was confusing or you got a paid deduction? What if the Lord wanted you right there? Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. We've got to be those that follow his voice, that obey his truth, and that trust in him, and that do not doubt about our provision. So I want to encourage you, don't do your plan. Don't lean on your understanding. You're not that smart. You will wind up off course. Stay the course that he leads. And then every day, ask him, oh God, please speak. Please help me. You as an obedient son or daughter cannot wind up off course of the plan of God if you're fully submitted to whatever it is that he asks. You cannot wind up off course. The one that winds up off course is the one that deviates according to their own understanding. They lean on their own understanding. It would seem to me better if I did this. Yeah, but is that the way the Lord led you? No. Is that the way that the Bible actually would lead you? No. You're going to wind up leaning on your own understanding and wind up off course of the plan of God for your life. Instead, stay the course, and sometimes you got to go through some confusing storms. You got to handle some situations that are not the most fun ever. But God likes you, and he has a plan for your life, but you can't make up your own plan. You can't make up your own plan. And I just want to tell you again, the enemy desires greatly to get you off the course of God for your life for a minute or for a decade. Either way, he wants to get you off course by sowing in confusion to a plan that you already knew. At one point, you knew it was the Lord. You knew it because the Word said it, or you knew it because the Holy Spirit spoke it. You knew it. The enemy wants to sow in confusion. And the easiest thing to do is just stay the last course until the Lord makes it really clear you're supposed to.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.